having His Grace Pankaj Angri Prabhu with us today. So Pankaj Angri Prabhu, as you're aware, needs no introduction. He and Jananivas Prabhu are very dear to this congregation, to this temple, and to His Holiness Radhanand Maharaj and all the devotees who are here. Pankaj Angri Prabhu has been serving in the mission of Srila Prabhupada for now almost 40 years. And he's been serving in Sri Mayapur Dham as the Pujari of Narsingh Dev for so many years. He's the first one who took up that service and has been serving wonderfully. And he's a very, very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. So it is a great privilege to have him here today to share his realizations with us. So let us express our deep gratitude by loudly chanting three times. Hare
for such an enthusiastic welcome. I am overwhelmed and accustomed to addressing so many people in one place. Please forgive me if I am a little shy sometimes. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, we'd like to read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita with the translation purports by His Divine Grace C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. This is Adilila chapter 9. It's entitled The Desire Tree of Devotional Service. We'll read text from text 41, but before I would like to read from the from text 26, and then we can speak on the, we can read the purport for the others. So this chapter is called the Desire Tree of Devotional Service. As we know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna himself, appeared directly from his spiritual abode here 500 years ago to taste the pure mellows of his love for his devotee's love for himself. So he appeared with the sentiment and the complexion of Srimati Radharani, the greatest devotee. while externally it was time for the Yugadharma, which is a Nam Sankirtan. So since this is the Christmas marathon time, everyone should be a little inspired. We can read from this and see how this is Lord Chaitanya really wanted this distribution of Krishna consciousness. he said, because he's given this love of God, Krishna consciousness, or the process of Sankirtan Yagya, given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will actually give love of God, love of Radha and Krishna. No other process will do. Actually, Radha Krishna, you never saw Radha Krishna before 500 years ago. Radha Krishna worship was unknown. It's only very recent that such an esoteric pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually known. Of course, in other millenniums, maybe Radha and Krishna appear, but they will be married. It will be very formal. They'll be worshipped in Aishwarya Bhav. But to actually to be able to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God has many personalities. God is one. He comes many for his pleasure, but he expands many avatars, many personalities. But what is that Supreme Personality? What is his Supreme Personality? So if you want to know somebody's Supreme Personality, you better ask his relatives, because they know what his actual real personality is. Because when you come out of your house, you take on your different identities as a manager or a clerk or a hostess, whatever you do. A different identity. It says that when the chief minister comes out, when he's out on tour, then everyone is like this, yes sir, no sir, right? It's the chief minister. When he goes home, he's not the chief minister anymore. Right? When he goes home, who is he? His husband, his daddy, his brother, his uncle. He's not the chief minister. When he leaves, then he's chief minister. So Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, is that Krishna in Vrindavan, Vraja. And when he leaves, he cannot display his supreme personality because he doesn't have such intimate relationships when he's outside. Because when he steps outside, then he becomes God. When he's inside, he's not God. So Krishna is actually greater than God. God is like a political name that we put on Krishna. So he acts like a God because people want a God. So therefore he takes that role. But in Vrindavan, at home, he's not God. He's Nandanandan. And the people love him for what he is. The most wonderful person. But outside, you may love him because he's the creator, maintainer, destroyer. He will supply all our needs. We can pray to him and get rid of all our problems and get what we want. But so this idea of God is an interference in the relationship. You see, so therefore it's absent there. So this is the same supreme personality of God has come to relish what his devotees feel about him. So therefore he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in other yugas, I say when he may appear, but then it would be very formal. But this last Dwapara Yuga, when it was directly Goloka Krishna, it wasn't an incarnation of Vishnu. Usually the expansions, they will come from Vishnu, from Mahavishnu. But this one is directly, because Mahavishnu is an expansion of Krishna. So this Krishna comes directly down from Goloka to give the living entities, falling souls like us, a very rare chance. It's only once in the 28th day of Lord Brahma, right? He comes. It's very, very rare. It was so fortunate. Only 5,000 years ago, Krishna appeared. Only 500 years ago, it's very, so close. So close. Brahma's day is unlimited years. The 28th day. So we're so fortunate. So we should take it. We have such good fortune. So we should take this fortune seriously. So this is what I want to theme. So he's come to distribute Krishna Prem, love of himself. And he's come to taste it also. So he's tasted it. And we know his story. He goes to Gaya and meets his guru, takes Ishwar Puripad. His guru initiates him. He gives a mantra. He gives Krishna mantra. And Krishna and his name are not different, right? We heard every day. Mahaprabhu, when he got that mantra, he experienced Krishna. Then he fainted. It didn't happen to me at initiation. I don't know if it happened to anyone else. But that is the name of Krishna, and Krishna are non-different. So then he became very enlightened. And he thought, this is so nice, everyone should have this. Why should... And in his intoxicated state, says he becomes intoxicated with that prema of Krishna. And therefore he couldn't think properly. He was just given to even unqualified people. Anyway, he was given and tasting and given. So he said, everyone should do this. So he came and showed the process how everyone could also follow in his footsteps. So text 28. No. Talking about this desire tree and the different branches, the different devotees who are distributing. Text 26. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the original trunk, the taste of the fruits that grow on the branches and sub-branches surpassed the taste of nectar. 27. The fruits ripened and became sweet and nectarian. The gardener, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributed them without asking any price. All the wealth of the three worlds cannot equal the value of one such nectarian fruit of devotional service. Not considering who asked for it and who did not, nor who was fit and who unfit to receive it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed the fruits of devotional service. You see in the first line of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, this is the sum and substance of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. We're not considering who's asking for it and who did not, because nobody knows. Nobody's interested in God. You can't wait for people to be interested. You have to wake them, shake them, and make them interested. Who was fit and who was unfit? So no one is unfit in Kali Yuga. No one is fit, actually. No one is fit. There's no question of being. Everyone is unfit. So it's for everyone. 30. The transcendental gardener, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributed handful after handful of fruits in all directions. And when the poor, hungry people ate the fruit, the gardener smiled with great pleasure. So when we give this Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya becomes very pleased. And that is the secret of success in spiritual life, where we can please the spiritual master, please the devotee, please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada says, quoting his spiritual master, don't try to see God. You act in such a way as God will see you. 31. Lord Chaitanya thus addressed the multifarious varieties of branches and sub-branches of the tree of devotional service. Since the tree of devotional service is transcendental, every one of its parts can perform the actions of all the others. Although a tree is supposed to be immovable, this tree nevertheless moves. All the parts of the tree are spiritually cognizant, and thus they grow and spread all over the world. I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. I'm one man. How can I distribute to all the people who are suffering in this world? They have to have this Krishna consciousness. But I'm only one man. How can I do it? I need your help. When Krishna comes, he doesn't need Sarat. Krishna doesn't need any help. His pastime. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, he needs your help. He says, how can I do? I can't reach everyone. I need help. So he's begging out of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls that they have to have this Krishna consciousness. It would certainly be a very laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them all alone. And still I suspect that some would receive them and others would not. Therefore, I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere, is the order from the Lord. When you ask people to chant Hare Krishna or become a member or give, they say, Bhagavan Icha. When Krishna desires, I will do. So here you can quote. This is Krishna's order. I order every man within the universe to accept Krishna consciousness and distribute it everywhere. This is God's order. I am the only gardener. If I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat? By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree, and thus there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately come free from old age and death. If the fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere, and thus all the people will glorify my name with great pleasure. And here, it all applies to you especially. Text 41. Bharata Bhumdi Haida Manasa Janma Jara Janma Satakari Kara Para Upakara. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India. Bharat Vasha. Are you listening? Any Indians here? Any Bharat Vashi buses here? I think, listen carefully, one who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada will enlighten us on what is the benefit of all other people and how to give that greatest benefit. The magnanimity, this is purported by Sri Mangesh A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The magnanimity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressed in this very important verse. Although he is born in Bengal and Bengalis therefore have a special duty towards him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressing not only Bengalis but all the inhabitants of India, including Bombay. That's not there. I need new glasses. It is in the land of India that actual human civilization can be developed. Srila Prabhupada said, I have traveled the globe 14 times and the only trace of culture is in India. The only real culture, he said, is in India. He said, and that's gradually going, unfortunately. Okay, human life is especially meant for God realization, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Ato Brahma Jigyasya. Anyone who has taken birth in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, has a special privilege of being able to take advantage of the instructions and guidance of the Vedic civilization. He automatically receives the basic principles of spiritual life. For 99.9% of Indian people, even simple village farmers and others who are neither educated nor sophisticated, believe in the transmigration of the soul, believe in past and future lives, believe in God, and naturally want to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His representative. These ideas are the natural inheritance of a person born in India. India has many holy places of pilgrimage such as Gaya, Banaras, Mathura, Prayag, Vrindavan, Hardwar, Rameshram and Jagannath Puri. And still people go there by the hundreds and thousands. Although the present leaders of India are influencing people not to believe in God, not to believe in the next life, and not to believe in a distinction between pious and impious life, and although they are teaching them how to drink wine, eat meat, become supposedly civilized people, people are nevertheless afraid of the four activities of sinful life, namely illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. And whenever there is a religious festival, they gather by the thousands. We have actual experience of this. Whenever the Krishna consciousness movement holds a Sankirtan festival in a big city like Calcutta, Bombay, Mumbai, Madras, Allahabad or Hyderabad, thousands of people come to hear. Sometimes we speak in English, but even though most people do not understand English, they nevertheless come to hear us. Even when imitation incarnations of Godhead speak, people gather in the thousands. For everyone who is born in the land of India has a natural spiritual inclination and is taught the basic principles of spiritual life. They merely need to be a little more educated in the Vedic principles. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says here, Janma Sataka Kari Kara Para Upakara. If an Indian is educated in the Vedic principles, he is able to perform the most beneficial welfare activity for the entire world. If an Indian is educated in the Vedic principles, he is able to perform the most beneficial welfare activities for the entire world. At present, for want of Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, the entire world is in darkness, having been covered by the four principles of sinful life, meat eating, illicit sex, gambling and intoxication. Therefore, there is a need for vigorous propaganda to educate people to refrain from sinful activities. This will bring peace and prosperity. The rogues, thieves and debauchees will naturally decrease in number and all of human society will be God conscious. The practical effort of our preaching the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is that now the most degraded debauchees are becoming the most elevated saints. This is only one Indian's humble service to the world. If all Indians had taken to this path as advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, India would have given a unique gift to the world, and thus India would have been glorified. Now, however, India is known as a poverty-stricken country, and whenever anyone from America or another opulent country goes to India, he sees so many people lying on the footpaths for whom there are not even provisions for two meals a day. There are also institutions collecting money from all parts of the world in the name of welfare activities for poverty-stricken people, but they are spending it for their own sense gratification. Now, on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna consciousness movement has been started and the people are benefiting from this movement. Therefore, it is now the duty of the leading men of India to consider the importance of this movement and train many Indians to go outside of India to preach this cult. People will accept it. There will be cooperation among the Indian people and among other people of the world, and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will then be fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will then be glorified all over the world, and people will naturally be happy, peaceful, and prosperous, not only in this life, but also in the next. For as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, anyone who understands Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will very easily get salvation or freedom from the repetition of birth and death, and go back home, back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore requests every Indian to become a preacher of his cult to save the world from disastrous confusion. This is not only the duty of Indians, but the duty of everyone. And we are very happy that the Americans and European boys and girls are seriously cooperating with this movement. One should definitely know that the best welfare activity for all of human society is to awaken man's God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Therefore, everyone should help this great movement. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 20th chapter, 22nd chapter, verse 35, which is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I will read that quote and finish the reading. So this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam also. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. Om Agyanam Tadandasya Agyanam Salakaya Chakshul Mithamne Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutare Simhati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned, this is a very important verse. The essence of our mission, the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Brahma, Gaudiya, Vaishnava cult that we are following. And factually, this is the only process that will bring real success in this particular age of Kali Yuga. Harinam, 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 eva kevalam, kalo nasti, vanasti, vanasti, vegatir anyata. This age is so bad, Kali Yuga. We only live for 100 years maximum. Everything diminishes. In Satya Yuga, Treta Dwapa, everything diminishes. All the good qualities, they diminish. The intelligence diminishes 1/4 every. So we've only got 1/4 of the intelligence that we had when we was in Satyayuga. And in Satyayuga, we didn't get out, we're still here. We had a long, long life in Satyayuga, thousands of years, and 4 times the intelligence. We're still here. We didn't get out in Satya, we didn't get out in Treta, we didn't get out in Dwapara. What chance in Kali Yuga? See, as I mentioned, there's no hope. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to make it very easy. Then Harinam, Harinam, Eva Kevalam, Kalona Steva, Nastiva. Not by karma, not by gyan, not by yoga. Kalona Steva, Nastiva, Nastiva. These processes, they won't work in Kali Yuga. You can't be successful by these processes. Then this age is too powerful, Kali Yuga. How many perfect jnanis, karmis, or yogis do you know? I mean, you're spiritual people. You must have a wide... So, but how many perfect people do you know, people who have obtained perfection, self-realization by practicing karma yoga or jnana yoga or astanga yoga? Not many. Not many hands are going up here. So practically, it's not possible in Kali Yuga. So Caitanya Mahaprabhu was given this, a very, very simple process. He must, because the people are so fallen in Kali Yuga. So he gives a very simple process. Chant Hare Krishna. And give up these sinful activities, then you'll advance much quicker. The name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. But unless you have the proper adhikā, you won't be able to experience Krishna in his name. You won't be able to experience the name as Krishna if you don't have the proper adhikā. So therefore, you should become free from this mode of passion and ignorance. That will automatically happen if you follow the process of sadhana bhakti, which we are propagating under ISKCON is propagating under the direction of Srila Prabhupada and the orders of Srila Rupa Goswami. As Prabhupada mentions, you follow these four regulative principles, that's civilized life. It's not spiritual life, but it's civilized life if you can follow those. It's human civilized life if you can follow those four regulative principles. Because that will situate one in the mode of goodness. And the mode of goodness, or to pure goodness, which is what you want, is a much easier transition. It's a much closer way of life to what's going on in the spiritual world. The life in the mode of goodness is much closer to what they live in the heavenly planets. And the heavenly planets is closer to what they live in the spiritual world. So, but that will automatically take place if one is sincerely following these things, because the whole lifestyle is in the mode of goodness, except when you eat rasgulas are in the mode of passion. Otherwise the lifestyle is in the mode of goodness. Who gets up early in the morning before it gets light and takes a bath and marks their body with tilak and reads scriptures and chants the names of God? Hardly anyone does that nowadays. Of course in India. But this is mode of goodness. So we have this a very, very nice program. And especially the program, so Prabhupada said, I've given these two programs for those that actually in the temple is very easy and more conducive. Because the whole morning program is from 4 o'clock in the morning. It's just Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. It's just you're seeing the deities, you're seeing the beautiful deities, dancing, moving your body for the Lord, using your legs to go to the temple, using your eyes to see, using your nose to smell the incense, and then you're chanting the name of God. You're being purified inside as well as outside, as well as anyone else who hears is purified. We're worshiping the Vaishnavas. We're associating with Krishna and his devotees directly by reading from the scripture. And then we take Mahaprasad, offer to the Lord. Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu Smaran. These are the most essential items of devotional service, these three. So that's you've got four or five hours of that in the morning, straight off. So then you become very ready for the whole day. So if you want to become strong, you get a good morning sadhana behind you, then you'll be able to go pass through the Bombay modes more peacefully, without so much botheration. All the whole world is rushing round, is affected by the mode, primarily by the mode of passion. Bombay is a result. Mumbai is a result of a mode of passion. No place to live. To be. I saw one high rise. It was like a biscuit. I wonder how it could stand up. But any little bit of land, you, unless you build, you know, you can't make any. It's so expensive to the land here, I heard, that unless you build 15 stories, you're going to lose money. So everything's got to be high, you're going to have 50 stories. In fact, when we were coming in, someone pointed out these two towers, one apartment is 40 crores for one apartment. I couldn't believe it. One apartment, 40 crores. But you get parking space. And people, if you want to live in this place, then you have to pay the price. Why they want to live here? Haribol. So this is the mode of passion that, you know, we think we have to have things, and the whole advertising media, the educational system. It's all based on this mode of passion. You get in there, you got to get a good education. Indians are mad after education. You get a good education, why? You can get a better job. Why? You get more money. You can live easier. You can have more stuff, more things. You can have a higher, you can live in a higher rise. but these actually don't bring one happiness. We're taught like that they do. If you have these facilities, then you'll be satisfied and happy, but not. How many of your great grandparents, what kind of house did they live in? Probably joint families. And they probably had a spacious house and some land, right? And we cramped up in a little few square feet of with some plastic and glass and air conditioning and a little box in Bombay, and you've got to leave it to work and maintain it, and you can hardly breathe when you go outside. So how much better off are we really? Your grandmother used to sit on the swing in the porch, right? You can't do that. But we think we can't live without these things. You know, this is backward, this is primitive. Huh? We did the Braj Mandal Prakram. So seeing the bridge buses, so it was a very wonderful experience because they're perfect people. To take birth in the Holy Dham, you have to be a devotee. You can't take birth if you're not a devotee. So we can see that those people are very satisfied inside. They're not fooled by all this. They're not enamored by all this other stuff. You don't see billboards everywhere. It's one relief. You don't see any billboards outside in the rural area. And sometimes we stayed in the house, the houses. So one house we got to, and they said, well, today we're staying in the bridge bus's house. Oh, very nice. We can get a bridge bus's roti. And so we got there, and I was looking around. I said, where's the light switch? They said, there's no electricity here. But there could have been electricity. There was electricity on the street, but there wasn't electricity in the house. And they weren't poor. They had cows and buffaloes. And then I said, where's the bathroom? They said, I said, where? It became known on the on the Braj Mandal Prakram for the Bengali as the international bathroom. It means anywhere, everywhere. Wherever you can find a place, it means they didn't even have a bathroom. Can you imagine? And Srila Prabhupada says, you can judge somebody's culture, how cultured somebody are, by the distance between their house and the bathroom. So they don't have a bathroom. So this is transcendental, right? But it was such a wonderful experience there because they naturally remember Krishna. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the topmost instruction in Bhagavad Gita, man mana bhava ma bhakta, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me. They're doing that. They don't forget Krishna. They tell us to chant Hare Krishna. Right? We go around, we have a Harinam, and we say Hari Bol. We try to get people to chant Hare Krishna. And if one person says Hare Krishna, we're very happy. Hey, if someone smiles and they, when you walk around the bridge buses, hey, daddy, 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 they're telling us, hey, that's our job. What they're telling us what to do. I've got the tilak, I've got the kunti mala, I've got the shaved head, and they haven't got none of that. But they never forget Krishna. So we're second, they're first class. If you can't do that, Krishna says, man mana, if you can't do that, then you practice the regulative principles of devotional service. That's us. Second. We can't do that. But when you associate with those people, they're doing that. They don't need all this. They've done all this. In previous births, they've done all this. So it's so rewarding to see that, you know, the actual fruit. And this means that this will be their last birth, and their next birth they take birth in a universe in Bhumi, Braja Bhumi, where Krishna is appearing. They'll get direct association of Krishna. So that's what they're doing. But they're very simple people, and they work hard. They're up early in the morning. They're up very early in the morning, and they work because they're working the land and the cows. And they work hard. Everyone's working hard. That's what I notice. Everyone's working hard. Different type of work. The girls, the ladies get up in the morning. I suppose they do their ablutions. They come and they get the cow dung from the courtyard and go and put it on the pile. I suppose they come back, take bath and cook the breakfast. And later on they go out and make the cow patties. And so in Vrindavan, in Golok, our goal, what are we going to do there? There's no electricity. There's no cell phone. There's no computer. There's no motor cars. Huh? They're making cow patties and sticking them on there. That's what they're doing there. So this is actual civilized life. We think this is very backwards. But this is our actual goal. We want to do that. But in any case, whatever you do, whatever situation, remember Krishna. That's the thing. So now we have to learn how to see Krishna in all of our daily activities, and every sphere of life. We have to learn to see Krishna, connect it with Krishna. When you clean your teeth, how is it pleasing to Krishna? We have to hear these things from the guru. When you're going to the office, when you're driving through the city, you're dealing with so much commerce and materialistic people. How are you going to remember Krishna in that? So it's very simple. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the ideal example of a grihastha. Krishna, this is not my house. This is your house. But I'm the caretaker. So you'll never forget your house because you always have to pay the bills, right? You're always house conscious. So you can always remember Krishna. This is Krishna's house. Krishna is not my wife. She is your servant. But I have taken responsibility to protect, nourish, and guide. Krishna is not my husband, he's your servant, he's your devotee. But I have the responsibility to maintain the household for him and keep the life peaceful so that he can do the breadwinning, and when he comes home it'll be a peaceful situation. We can have time for spiritual topics after his so it's a good. And Krishna, they're not our children, they're your devotees. But we're responsible for giving them this body. Therefore, and it's our duty to give them all the proper love, nourishment, and educate, all the things it takes to guide them that they become Krishna conscious. So it's their last birth. We're giving them a vehicle for their last birth. So this is, he said, this is ideal household life. Then whatever you do, you're seeing it in connection with Krishna. So if you're a devotee living in Krishna's house with Krishna's devotees, then you have to work to maintain that. So that work is not material. That's gona bhakti, subsidiary devotional activity. You have to maintain. Everyone has to eat, sleep, mate, defend. These things have to go on. Then you have to somehow you have to maintain that. So you have to do something. But why are you doing it? So this is a question, you can ask yourself, why am I doing this activity? Then you can always remember Krishna. Because we have only two rules. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Or two activities. Accept what's favorable for Krishna and reject what's unfavorable. That's all. You just have to learn those things. and then you apply it. So if you see everything in connection with Krishna, then it doesn't matter what life you live. It's not that everyone has to live a sattvic life. Kshatriya means a mode of passion. It doesn't mean that you have to come to the mode of goodness before you can go back to Godhead, necessarily. Krishna says, Vaishya Sri Suja. Now, Vaishya is mode of passion. Suja is mode of ignorance. If they all come back to me. They all come back to me. So they come back to him. All my devotees come back to me. Whatever you are, whoever you are, whatever you're doing, connect it with Krishna. This is a simple practice. So you don't have to change anything. Srila Prabhupada said, Arjuna didn't change anything. Before Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and enlightened him, he was a prince, a diplomat, householder. And after being enlightened, he remained the same thing. Nothing changed. So it's not an external thing. It's just the consciousness we have to change. That's all. Why am I doing what I'm doing? This is what I said. For what purpose? Why am I doing it? What is the motivation why I'm doing this thing? Then you can remember, always remember Krishna. So it's not such a difficult thing, actually. And it's not such an esoteric, secret thing. It's just normal. You're just living a normal life. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to live under a tree. If you're rich, if your karma is good, you may have, you know, so many houses and high rises here and there in Bombay and a fleet of cars, and it doesn't matter. That's okay. But don't think, I should have that. He's got four cars, I should have four. He's got the high, I should have it. Don't think like that. And then you're working hard and you can't get it and it's so frustrating. That's Maya. You accept what comes automatically. In any case, you can't change. Your happiness and distress are fixed. There's no luck in the life. Only when you meet a devotee, or you're born in a family of devotees, you have good parents. Otherwise, there's no chance. Karma is very rigid. There's no chance in the world. There's no luck. It's all karma. So your happiness and distress is already fixed. You go to the Jyotish, he'll tell you. He can see. He knows what's happening. How does he know that? It's fixed. According to your previous impious activities, you're going to have so much suffering, so much. You can't change it. You may go work hard like an ass and get so much stuff. It won't make you any more happy. Prabhupada said the man, he works diligently. He gets up in the morning and he takes his idli, two idlis and tea, and he's off to work. And he hardly works. He said he gets $1 million. Still, he takes two idlis and his tea in the morning. He can't eat any more. Right? You can't eat any more. You just eat the same. So no matter how much money you've got or how much facility, it's not necessarily going to improve your a quality of existence or your happiness and remove the distress. Prahlad Maharaj says that in the he says, I see all these, everyone's talking about happiness, he says, but you don't see anyone actually has it. Everyone's talking about it, in the future, but nobody actually achieves it. So now actually I think all these endeavors they're making to achieve happiness and remove the problems. He says they're working so hard to remove these problems, but I think the endeavor to remove the problem is worse than the problem itself. Because that endeavor, the result and action, creates 10 problems. So instead of one problem, you have 10. Then you tend to deal with 10 in a materialistic way, and it multiplies. That is the nature of the material energy. That is the nature of Maya. Prabhupada says you become more and more entangled in her complexities. Prabhupada gives the example of the road, the motor car. You want to get from A to B quicker, so you invent a motor car. Great, you do. But look at the infrastructure it requires. Hellish, you know, factories producing cement, mines sucking the resources of the earth and polluting the atmosphere with all the fumes and the road accidents and the whole thing that goes. But you get from A to B quicker. So the real question is, why you want to get from A to B quicker? If you are satisfied in A, then there's no need to rush to B. Then you wouldn't need all this passion, you see. So that, but you do it, but then you have so many complex things to deal with. Right? Traffic is a big problem now, right, in Bombay. and you have to take care of so many things. And you have to have a car. Right? You have to have it. That's what you believe. You have to have one to live in this society. You have to conform. So the mode of passion just catches you up and you go along with it. And you don't know what's going on. You're compelled to go. And everyone's doing it, you see. And nobody questions. So it's great fortune that a devotee comes and just, hey, wake up, what are you doing? You're doing this. You're working so hard for what? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. The frogs aren't doing that. They're doing the same thing. Don't think they don't get any more pleasure than we do. And the animals. They're all doing the same thing. So what is the advantage of being a human being? What's the difference? You be an animal. You don't have to pay taxes. You don't have to buy designer clothes. You don't have to drive the latest thing. You don't have to pay insurance. There's no judicial system. There's no moral or immorality. There's no rules to follow. Why not be an animal? If you're just interested in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, why take a human birth? You can do it easier in other species. But the speciality is there's a human. Those that take birth as a human being, we have higher intelligence. We can actually question, what am I doing? What is the meaning? Why old age? Why disease? Why death? I don't like it. Why death? I don't like these things. They're forced. So you can ask the other species, they can't answer. So this is a special benediction of the human form of life. And he can make a solution to this human, to this cycle of birth and death. And that is our good fortune, that we've had this. We've been given this opportunity by the mercy of the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada said, you accept this principles of Krishna consciousness given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Rupa Goswami. Now you should be fixed in understanding that this process is so bona fide. It's only 500 years old. We've got a direct link from the Supreme Personality of Godhead coming from Rupa Goswami, who is Rupa Manjari and Krishna Leela. So you want to go to Golok Vrindavan, you can't do better than this. Nobody knows better how to act in this world than Rupa Manjari. And she's telling you to chant Hare Krishna, follow four regular principles, rise early in the morning, be clean, see the deity, develop Krishna consciousness, and give to others. You should be convinced that this is the actual best process, the most direct process. You should be convinced of that. Because actually it is. Isn't it? Another process is will take you so speedily. Will have you so speedily. This is scriptural. It's coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So Srila Prabhupada says that if you follow these principles strictly and chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds a day, he said you can go back to Godhead in one lifetime. No acharya, I don't think, ever said that. Other acharya, that you can go back in one lifetime. Regardless. It means in your next birth, you'll take birth in Vrindavan, finishing school where Krishna's there. So that is a wonderful gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it doesn't. It's not necessary. You have to reach these very exalted stages. Ruchi, ashakti, bhava, prema. They're very difficult to attain. Very difficult in one lifetime. Very difficult. If you get that, you're very lucky. If you're gifted that, you're very fortunate. But even if you don't, it doesn't matter. If you get it now, you'll be happy in this. You'll be in ecstasy in this life, and then go back to Godhead. But if you don't, you go back to Godhead. And even if you're struggling in this lifetime, you're sincerely following, you go back to Godhead. So you meet in all types of different people. Some people take to Krishna consciousness and they just fly, they're so happy and ecstatic. Other people, oh, Prabhu this, oh, Prabhu that, oh, Prabhu that. They all go back to Godhead at the end of life if they're sincere. That's Mahaprabhu's thing. If you have to purify yourself and come to the mode of goodness and come to the mode of pure goodness, then what is the difference? Why is Mahaprabhu Mahavranaya? Because that's what all the other avatars are given. They're given a process to gradually purify yourself from passion, ignorance, and goodness, and come to Suddha Sattva. So if you have to come to that stage, then what's the difference between Mahaprabhu and any other avatar? No difference. But no, if he's Mahavranaya, he's the most munificent. He's given freely, he's not considering who is fit and who is unfit. Take it, eat as much as you want, eat to your full content, and then give to others. And that, he'll be very pleased, we just read. He'll be very pleased if we do that. So now is a very good opportunity we can give to others. We take ourselves and give to others, and now is a marathon. So you can give this Krishna content, you can give Prabhupada to somebody. Give Prabhupada, take one book and give to somebody. Anyone can do it. So Prabhupada said we have to, it means all of the devotees should jointly combine to increase this movement. I know some of you are doing wonderful, distributing so many hundreds of books. But don't, there's many of us here who are not thinking of giving anyone a book, just for this 1 month. You don't think about it. You take a book, you just take some books, then you've got to do something with them, right? You take the books and take them home, then you've got to do something with them. Then you'll find ways and means to give someone. If you give somebody, you may change their life. And not only one person reads a book. Four people read a newspaper in India, average. One newspaper gets read by four. But a book. And we have instances in ISKCON, modern history, someone has taken a book, thrown it away, someone else has picked it up, become a devotee. Someone else has taken a book, put it on their bookshelf. Their children, their grandchildren picks it up one day. He becomes a devotee. This is practical things that are happening. So much benefit we will get by doing that. So take advantage of this 1 month we have. Not even 1 month now. Take a few books with you. See, just, and give them to for a small token. You're given someone's new life. And this is Mahaprabhu's mission. Audhaya, compassion. If you're actually compassionate on these the people of this world, if we actually believe that Krishna consciousness is the only thing they need, and nothing else is going to really help them, and you have the opportunity to give them. And if you don't do it, that's violence. The people are, everyone's suffering in this material world due to the mode of passion. They don't know, they have no direction practically. So if we help them, if you give Krishna consciousness to someone, we may not, it doesn't matter who you are, we can't, what can we do? Prabhupada said, what is the use of your 30 minutes speaking? You give them a book. Then Prabhupada would speak for hours and hours to them. They'll get personal association of Srila Prabhupada. He'll speak to them for hours through that book. And that will do. So we can be an instrument. So it doesn't matter. Don't think I'm not capable. Anyone. You take it home and then you're gonna give it to somebody. Please take this book. It will help you. Mahaprabhu will be very pleased. When he blesses us, we'll become more advanced. Then we become more compassionate also. We'll have more feeling for these people are suffering. Everyone's going to hell, practically. In the mode of passion, we'll take people to somewhere. It's very rare, this human form of life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when one feels a heartfelt need to give Krishna consciousness to the suffering living entities, heartfelt need, that this only Krishna consciousness is going to help these people, and I have the opportunity to do it. And if I don't, you know, I may never see. He said, when you have a heartfelt need, he said, at that very moment, the holy Dharma will be revealed to you. Because that's Mahaprabhu's mission. He's crying, I'm one person, how can I distribute all these fruits? Please help me. I'm only one person. I can't reach everyone. Please help me. They're suffering. These things are so nice I'm giving. So he's heartbroken like that. So he'd be so happy that if we help in his mission. So this is our prayer on this opportune time of the what we call the Christmas marathon, to reach out and help these misguided people and give them an opportunity like we have to engage in pure unalloyed devotional service under the guidance of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and our Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada ki jay, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jay, Nitai Gopramanandi. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances, Prabhu. Thank you. So, Prabhuji, you were mentioning about the modes, that it's not really necessary to come to the mode of goodness. But generally, you know, people are affected by these modes, especially passion and ignorance. So, you know, many times it manifests as, you know, sleep, lot of sleep while chanting or, you know, while doing any spiritual activity. So, Prabhu, how do we fight these modes and, you know, come out of them so that we can execute our Krishna consciousness properly?
We're in the modes. It's all we know is the modes. We're conducted by the modes of nature. But our process is different from the process of karma, gyan and yoga, who try to become free, try to control the senses, try to come aloof from that. Our process is we directly engage in Krishna service by hearing, chanting, remembering, serving. And automatically then the senses are engaged in a superior activity or the superior energy, the spiritual energy, because Hare Krishna doesn't mean anything in this world. Has no material meaning. Krishna, this world of Maya, the three modes of nature, that's all we know. All we can see is lights, colors, substance, sounds. This is all Maya. This is all material energy. It's all we know. And we think we're part of it. I think I'm this body. It's all I've ever known as far as my experience goes. But within this modes of nature, also the transcendental energy appears. The spiritual nature also appears. And how is that manifest? In the form of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the service of the Lord, the prasad of the Lord, the pure devotees of the Lord, and the service of the Lord. But that's not, although it's here, it's not part of the mayic existence. It's not part of the modes of nature. Krishna says, Abhijanam. Among Modha, the fools, they deride me when they descend in a human form. They think I'm an ordinary person, but I'm not. I'm different. So Krishna is not different from his name and his paraphernalia, etc. So when we're here, if we're here discussing topics of Krishna consciousness and association of devotees, this is not the material world anymore. In this, we're actually liberated right now. If we're paying attention, we're liberated. We don't feel liberated. But conditioned life means performing an activity for some material result. We're not doing that right now. We're just open for hearing spiritual topics. So this is the platform of liberation. We don't feel liberated because we're not self-realized. When you become self-realized, then you can actually perceive your liberation. But right now, the fact is, it's the actually liberated platform. It's a transcendental platform. Unless we're thinking of something else outside of the spiritual life. So this is the actual transcendental platform. So we have to remain in contact with hearing, chanting, remembering, serving. Some or other, always remember Krishna. That's the rule. So if you can do that, then you're automatically, you're not occurring any more Maya. And when your karma comes, when it's time to experience your karma, material life, then the super soul will arrange the material energy. Now it's time for you to say enjoy this or that. Then the super soul will arrange, the devas will arrange a situation. The super soul will remind you, here is the opportunity to enjoy, take it, it's your birthright, go for it. It's in your mind, it's in your heart. But now, and normally you'll go, you'll take it. If it's in your heart, it's something you'd like to do and it's an opportunity, you'll do it. Why wouldn't you do it? But now, you'll question, now you'll make distinction with intelligence, Buddha Yoga. Is this favorable for Krishna consciousness or unfavorable? If it's favorable, fine. If it's unfavorable, no. You're not going for your karma. It's your karma. It's your birthright to have that. It's your actual karma. You're saying no. You're making a choice, no, on intelligence. So therefore, you don't have to experience that karma. And you don't get a reaction for playing around with the material world again. So, but what are you going to do? You'll say no to Maya, but what will you do? No, you'll do something which is Krishna. You'll focus back on Krishna. So this way you're automatically cut off from receiving any material reaction. And your previous karma in different seed forms and unmanifest, that actually doesn't get chance to manifest because you don't act on it. You have a superior engagement. And this is a process of bhakti yoga. But the other processes, they don't do that. They don't purify the heart. They don't stop because you're just concerned with control. Trying to control these things. The yogi is like controlling the senses in the yoga program is like having a basket with six snakes with no lid on it. And the snakes are going here and there and you pull it back and you push this one back, then that one goes. This is yoga. It's troublesome and it never ends. Just sometimes the snakes get a little tired. But this way you directly engage in devotional service, and there's no time, there's no scope for Maya. That's a simple secret. So the secret is how to be engaged 24 hours a day. That's what we have to learn. That's knowledge. So then you're not affected. Then you, but that means you when you're distinguishing like this, that means you're Krishna conscious. You're seeing Krishna. So that's how we become free. Otherwise, we're in the modes of nature. As soon as you forget Krishna, you're back at home. Your ground zero is Maya. Our base is Maya. Right? We're born into this thing. I'm born, I think I'm this body, I think I'm a Bombayite, I think I'm a Hindu, I think whatever I am. I'm thinking like that. I think I'm a man, I think I'm a woman. That's my ground, that's my base. So as soon as you forget reality, then you're back into this. A material consciousness again. So the idea is to connect everything with Krishna all day. And then you're always free from the modes of nature. It's a simple process. And easy. Not so easy, but it's simple. You've just got to make the choice. So that's all. What we're doing is making choices. Life is just a series of choices. That's all. Desire. That's all. And we're doing it every moment. So we have to learn what is the right choice. And then you make the right choice, and the next moment you make the next right choice, and the next moment you make the next right choice. So this is what this transcendental knowledge is given. What is the right choice, and what is the wrong choice? Bhagavatam is full of this. The wrong choices and the right choices by histories. Otherwise, we're in the modes. As soon as you're not remembering Krishna, you're in Maya. There's nothing else. There's Krishna and there's Maya. So as soon as you don't remember Krishna, it's Maya. There's no shades of grey. It's black and white. Good luck. So it's not something... We don't endeavour to control the senses separately. You endeavour to keep the senses engaged in devotional service, and that is sense control. And automatically, you're purified. The purification goes on, you see. Not only purified, you're spiritualized. Whereas in the other process, you're just purified. You become status quo. You become free from Maya. But this, you're engaged in, you're connecting with Krishna. Krishna's service, Krishna's name, Krishna's prasadam. So that is actually spiritualizing. So it's a direct approach. This is direct. That is why karma, jnana, they get you out of the material world, but they don't get you into the spiritual world. But here, where directly the spiritual world has come into the material world, and we're connecting on here. That is the sublime process of bhakti. Esoteric. Another one question? Maybe. Ready? Dev Pankaj Angri P. Whenever we see you, we remember Lord Nrsingadev. My existence has some use after all. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
So let us first of all thank His Grace Pankaj Angri Prabhu for sharing His wonderful realizations by three times loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! So we have the latest marathon updates. Before we give updates about what happened in Mumbai city, we are very fortunate to have association of two wonderful book distributors in Prabhupada's Sankirtan Army. We have with us His Grace Navina Neeraj Prabhu and His Grace Damodar Charan Prabhu. Navin Neeraj Prabhu is, he became a devotee in 1984 in Switzerland, and since then he's been distributing Srila Prabhupada's books all around the world, especially in the cold countries in Europe. So we wanted him to come and, since he's there, to share his realizations and experiences while distributing books for so many years in this movement of Hare Krishna. Also, we'll request, please come and take your seat. We'll also request Damodar Charan Prabhu also to come. Damodar Charan Prabhu is from Kyiv, Ukraine. And since 1991, he is also distributing books in the cold countries of Russia. So let us enthusiastically welcome both of them in our traditional style by loudly chanting, Hari Bol!
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Jangri Prabhu. So, it's a great fortune to be here amongst all of you in Shishi Radha Gopinath Mandir. Actually, some 5 years ago, I made the attempt to move to Mumbai, made a feasibility study, and I realized that it's more expensive than living in Switzerland. So I gave up on that idea. Actually, I think Switzerland is cold. Yeah, it was 20 degrees below zero last week. But being in Mumbai and then coming into this AC is actually more cold. So, but since it's free, I guess you have it on maximum volume. So, I'm very happy to be here. We went out to some interesting places like Borivali and Andheri stations and Dadar station and Naraman Point with all the devotees to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. It was a very enlivening experience. Actually, everybody is looking for Krishna. You may think that they're not looking for Krishna, but everybody is reading the newspapers. They're reading the magazines, the gossip columns, watching TV. What they want to know: who is most beautiful? Who is most strong? Who has the most amount of money? Who has the most power and influence? Who is most learned and smart? So what they want to know? Krishna, exactly. They're looking for Krishna. Now, As Pachangri Prabhu would say, brother, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, we got Krishna. Because Mahaprabhu has been so merciful that he has given himself through this disciplic succession. Now, we should share Krishna with others by giving them the books of Srila Prabhupada. It is so easy. Formerly, you'd have to get somebody convinced to listen to you and to accept what you tell them. It's not an easy job. Nowadays, you can just say, my dear sir, you're a gentleman and a scholar. And they say, yes, continue. Anything else? Just don't stop. Don't stop, okay? I'm with you. I'm all ears, okay? I say, this is for all the best-dressed people here in Bombay. They say, wow. You sure? Yes, yes. You're doing great, but if you take this book, you will be doing fantastic. And everybody's interested. Now, you're all here very fortunate, because out of the 20 million people, out of the 2 crore people in the Mumbai area, you found your way. We have all found our way to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. But many people are not that fortunate. So we got to get out there and take the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and bring it to those people to make them fortunate. But charity starts at home. First, we have to give Krishna to ourselves. There is 4 rules in book distribution, in sharing this knowledge with others. The first rule is that our sadhana should be strong, which means we chant attentively every morning our 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And we read the books of Srila Prabhupada. You can see Srila Prabhupada's form is here, his Murti form. And on the right side you have Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And on the left side you have Bhagavad Gita in so many different translations. Who here in this room owns a full set of Srila Prabhupada's books? Who owns a set of Prabhupada's books? That's about 12 people. Now, who owns a mobile phone? Show of hands. Even the kid who is sitting behind me here, hiding, he owns a mobile phone. He's playing on a mobile phone right now behind me. You can't see him because he's hiding. His mobile phone costs more than an English set of Srimad Bhagavatams. I know you can't believe this, but it's true. You get an English set of Srimad Bhagavatams for 4,000 rupees. You don't get a decent mobile phone for 4,000 rupees. Maybe a B or a C class set, which breaks within a few months. So you can get your own set of Srimad Bhagavatams for 4,000 rupees. You may say, I don't have 4,000 rupees. Okay, I'm not going to ask you who owns a car, who owns a flat, how much your flat costs. I found that out when I did my feasibility study for moving to Mumbai. Any decent place, it starts with a few crores and it goes way up, as we heard. You can give post-dated checks. You make 4 checks of 1,000 rupees, you get a set of Bhagavatams. Charity starts at home. We should give ourselves the gift of Srila Prabhupada's books. And that is also counted as distributing books. You distribute books to yourself. So you want to get onto the marathon score, this is your chance. This is the easy way. I know some of you are very shy, they're timid. Culturally, you know, there is some barrier to go out and approach people. Well, we don't have a problem of approaching ourselves and doing something good for ourselves. That's all we're doing all week long. We're worrying about number one. Who is number one? That's me. Right. So if you really want to fast track yourself, give yourself a set of Srila Prabhupada's books. I was 15 years old. I was going to school. I was working as a paper boy delivering newspapers and delivering flowers from a flower shop to people's homes. And all the money I got, I spent it on Prabhupada's books. It was $500. And I got a full set of books. And I don't regret it. because it has really benefited my life. It has a real impact on my life. So, I humbly request you, please take Prabhupada's books and read them. Because once you start reading these books, you feel like, wow, did you ever read one of Prabhupada's purports and you felt like he's speaking exactly to me? He's addressing just my problem? This is just what I needed to hear right now? Did any of you have that experience? You all did. So we want everybody to have that experience. Yes, people have some arguments. There may be some who think they're very smart and intelligent. It's like I met one person this week who said, I know all 700 shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. And then he started quoting like the wind. And it was almost hurting me. I had to step aside because he was so forceful. And Srila Prabhupada also met one very smart person who argued with him here in Mumbai. And that fellow said, why are you selling Bhagavad Gita? Krishna spoke Gita for free. Right? For free. So why are you charging? Prabhupada asked him, where did Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita? And because he was a smart fellow, he said, Kurukshetra. Prabhupada said, yes, correct. So Kurukshetra, Mumbai, 75 rupee transportation charge. So he started laughing and said, okay, I surrender. And he took out 75 rupees and he got the Gita. We're not out there to argue with people. We're not out there to convince people. We're out there to inspire people, to enlighten them. People want to be inspired. They want to be enlightened. They have heard all the smartness, all the intelligent talk. They're tired of it. They're sick of it. What do they want? They want you. They want your heart. That is what Shraddha means, to give one's heart. So do we trust this process? Do we trust Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's telling us that you simply take to this process and I will take you back home, back to Godhead? Now, if we're still doubting, this is our chance to get out of our comfort zone and to actually see it happening with our own eyes. Because to hear about it, that's theoretical. But if you experience it on your own skin, how people are getting the books and how their lives are being changed, then this creates this Shraddha where we feel, hey, this works. You can see a person change right in front of your eyes. Now here in India, you're very fortunate because you have so much adhikar. This is Punya Bhumi. You have so much inherent qualities for practicing Krishna consciousness. You're this close to Krishna. But many are looking into the wrong direction. They're looking, America. Huh? Let me go to America. The grass is greener on the other side. Huh? But over there, they have very little adhikar, very little good qualities. But many are looking towards India. Huh? We're down at Narayan Point. There's so many tourists, so many people here. And many of them come not just for tourism, but they're actually looking for something higher, something meaningful in life. Because there is nothing out there. I'm sorry to break the hard news, but I've been around the world quite a few times to many of the nice countries and islands. There is nothing out there. As Pankajangri Prabhu was saying, it's something you just heard about. Something people talk about, but you have actually never really seen. So, we should be more intelligent and actually follow the instructions of the acharyas by immersing ourselves in this practice of Krishna consciousness. Now, when you go down to the courtyard, you will see there's so many boxes of Bhagavad Gitas and Krishna books. And Srimad Bhagavatam sets are also available. So please, take this chance to give yourself this greatest gift of Krishna consciousness. Because it will make not only a difference in your life, but it will make a great difference in the lives of all the people who come in contact with you. So, Pankajangri Prabhu was speaking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the gardener who is distributing these fruits of love of Godhead to all living entities. Now, sometimes when you're meeting a person, you feel that this person is not yet really ripe. This is like a green mango. It's a mango, but it's green. So what do you do? You leave it on the tree. You don't break it. You don't take it off. It has not been sufficiently cooked. So in the same way, some people, all they can take is some friendly words, some smile, some encouragement, because their Shraddha is not yet developed. So we have to know that they're not yet sufficiently cooked by Maya. So you give them some time. Don't worry, Maya will turn on the heat, you know? And eventually they'll be ripe. They'll be ripe fruits. And they will be easy to pick. So I just spoke a couple of hours ago with Vaisheshika Prabhu from San Jose Temple, ISKCON of Silicon Valley, and for them it's still yesterday. And he went out with Devamrita Maharaj door to door distributing books in the Silicon Valley area. And in their temple, there is no brahmachari, not even one. There's only congregation. But right now, in the month of December, they've already distributed 25,000 books. How do they do that? By each and every member of the congregation doing a little bit. They all do a little bit. Everybody does one book, two books, five books, 10 books. So when 500 or 600 devotees go out, that's how many members they have. Here we have about 10 times that many. If everybody takes a few pieces of literature, doesn't even have to be Bhagavad Gita's. You can take Perfection of Yoga, you can take Raja Vidya, so many wonderful small books are there. And you give them as gifts to your friends, to your colleagues, to the people who you meet at work. Everybody will be happy to receive something. Huh? So, it is possible to make a difference in people's lives. We're going to hear from my dear friend Damodar Charan Prabhu about some of the wonderful events that are transpiring in Russia and in Ukraine. But before I close off here, I'd like you to request, humbly request you for your favorable prayers. There is 3 devotees who just left their body in the car accident about a week ago. Ananga Mohan Prabhu, who's a good friend of mine, Adi Yagya, and Bhakta Lev from Nizhny Novgorod. Ananga Mohan was a brahmachari who distributed books for more than 20 years, Adi Yagya for 18 years, and they left their body a week ago in a car accident, so please pray for them that they get Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I like to thank all the devotees from Shishi Radha Gopinath Mandir, that means everybody here, for your hospitality, your kindness, and your wonderful example. I was not able to move to Mumbai 5 years ago, but now somehow, by your kindness and by the mercy of the sadhus here, we've been allowed to stay and to associate with the devotees here. So thank you very much for your wonderful example and for your kindness. Please continue to spread these rays of hope to all the living entities. People are really suffering. There is no alternatives out there. I just tell people when we're in Dadar station, you know, and they don't believe that they should take this book. I say, look around you. Look at this train station. This is not a nice place, is it? I mean, you may think it's normal, but actually it's not normal. Just like nowadays, we need mobile phones, we need computers, because we can't talk to people anymore. The people who we like, the people who we love, are not here. They're somewhere else. So we need all these devices in order to think that we connect with each other. Formerly, you could just walk up to your neighbor or to your friend, or to your family member, and have a meaningful conversation. But nowadays, we need all these different instruments. But that's not real quality of life. Real quality of life means to have a meaningful life with Krishna in the center, to have meaningful relationships based on the service to Krishna, and to have real kindness and compassion, which means giving each other the opportunity for devotional service. So thank you for being such wonderful examples of representing these true values in life. And please take this chance to step outside of your comfort zones. Just like we're in here and it's quite comfortable. But people are suffering in Bombay. So take a few books, give them to yourself as a gift, and share them with others. And this will fast track you. This will put your application right on top of the pile. Who wants to go on top of the pile? You think, there's too many people here. Like any time I go out and I start moving in Mumbai traffic, I think like, why does everybody have to travel at the same time like I do? Why can't they just, you know? Like they have that sometimes, the odd and the even numbers, you know, on certain days like that or certain hours. Why is there so many people? So if you want to fast track your application, you think like I've been waiting for initiation for 5 years, for 7 years, for 10 years. Well, I got news for you. Srila Prabhupada waited for 11 years till he got Diksha. Some of us waited longer for whatever reasons. So if we want to fast track our application to our spiritual master and to Krishna, take these books, read them, and distribute them to others. You don't have to believe my words. You're all educated and very intelligent people. You try it out. You make the laboratory experiment. You prove me wrong. You come here in a year from now and you tell me, give me my money back. We'll refund you. No questions asked. We'll refund you. It's not a problem. Anybody who feels that they've been shortchanged, that they didn't get their money's worth here, they'll get a full refund. So you try it out and you see what difference it makes in your own life. So Srila Prabhupada has come here to make all of us fortunate, and he has swept the entire world, the entire planet with this wave of Krishna consciousness. Let's show our gratitude to him, trying to repay him. This is our family business. Prabhupada went to the West simply to publish these books and to get the books out to all living entities and then to make them fortunate by giving them Krishna. So our first and foremost duty in Krishna consciousness is to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Because once people see you happy in Krishna consciousness, they will come up to you and they will ask you, whatever it is that you have, I want it. Please teach me. Please show me how. And then you got to have a book. So rule number one was sadhana. Rule number two is you need to get books because you can't distribute books that you don't have. It's one of the laws of physics. It's not possible. So you got to get books, otherwise it's not going to happen. Rule number three is the more you show, the more you sell. The whole of Mumbai is turning into a showroom. Buy this car, buy this motorcycle, buy this dress, eat this food, come to this place. So you got to show the books. You got to give them to people. If they just stay in your homes, nobody will know. And rule number four, you must organize. If you plan to fail, you fail. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So organize. It's not that difficult. You're all very good organizers. Because just by being able to survive in Bombay, that proves that you're very good organizers. I mean, I don't know how you do it. I just ride on the local train, you know, and I just go up to Borivali, and I think like, all respect, you know. Pranam. The ordeal, the tapasya, a ordinary human being has to go through, the abuse, the suffering, the humiliation, just to earn his cup of tea and his two idlis. It's just amazing. It's just mind-boggling. So you're all very good at the art of organizing. So if you say, I got no time, you're on the train for 2 or 3 hours a day. Read books. Take books and distribute them on the trains. It's not so difficult. Please. Use your God-given intelligence. Show the world what you can do. You can make a huge difference. It is possible. So this is the month of December. I know many of us are going on yatra. So it's only 2 weeks left. So please, get some books, distribute them. It's It's not just about feeling good about oneself, but it's about really making a difference. So we're going to hear from Damodar Charan Prabhu how to actually become fortunate and how the sets have changed people's lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
How it's possible that I'm sitting here, but just not to offend my senior god brother Navinanirada Prabhu, because he ordered me to lead Mangalarati today, but I disobeyed. So now I just follow his order. In Ukraine we have many devotees which became devotees just because their fathers, they bought the whole sets of Srila Prabhupada's books. Because before we were distributing books by signing people on the factories, and it was a time when big amount of books were distributed, and all these books, actually, no one knew where they are going actually, and if those who are received those books, if they actually need these books, because it was some kind of a tricky method of distributing books, but somehow these books are always find their ways, because so many devotees they became just because their fathers or their relatives, they bought those books and they become devotees. It's a life experience I'm speaking. And also I just want to make one point that we had the play in our counselor's retreat. It was because of Shridam Prabhu and Mataji Kishori. We were picking up the names of the devotees who were sitting in that retreat. It was like 200 or 300 people there. And you were supposed to pick up the name, and then you were supposed to find that devotee, because many of them we don't know, and then you have to give some gift to that devotee. And it was very interesting experience, because on the next day when we started to give gifts to each other, then everyone felt like this. I thought that why should I give only to this devotee? Because it's a good ground to give also to somebody else some gifts. And I was going to as many devotees as I could, and because it was a short time we were allowed to give gifts. And we were giving those gifts. It was such an experience. Everyone was so happy. And it's just to show, this is example, just to show that to live by giving, it's much more pleasurable than to live by receiving, by collecting. We received something very, very precious, this Krishna consciousness, these books. But if we will just go out and we will give that gifts, and all of us, many people here sitting, if each of us will go on and give, then it would create a revolution. Everyone would feel such a great bliss just by giving this. Because Srila Prabhupada, he is he was translating those books for us. He was translating, and we have for everyone in this world, and we have to just try to repay him just by going out, especially in this time, marathon time, to go out and try to distribute. We're not doing such sacrifice like him, but at least something we can do. Just go out and give to somebody. Sorry. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your attention.
Hare Krishna. So, let us thank both Navin Nirad Prabhu and Damodar Charan Prabhu by loudly chanting Hari Bol. So, before I give the marathon update for the last week, I thought of presenting a small video here. Every week, for the last 2 weeks, we are presenting videos of how Srila Prabhupada is encouraging and advising us to distribute his books. So this time we are giving a home experience. We are going to show a video of Radha Gopinath Temple here. 2007 was a massive marathon. If you remember, many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, including Radhanath Maharaj and Mahamuni Prabhu, they had come on Dadar and also on lower Paril stalls. So it was a unique experience for all devotees. And I remember after the whole marathon got over, then Radhanath Maharaj told that we should have a felicitation program where all devotees should be encouraged and thanked for what they have done. And in that particular program, our bus party, they had been touring Bihar coal mines. So they came and presented a PowerPoint slideshow on what their experiences and the photos. So Radhanath Maharaj was so happy, and then he was speaking in the class that Srila Prabhupada once gave a class where he was crying and actually thanking all the devotees for having helped him in executing the mission and the order of his Guru Maharaj. So Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning in his talk that the same way Srila Prabhupada was thanking so many years back, actually Srila Prabhupada is thanking even today all of us for coming together unitedly, a joint effort, and pushing Srila Prabhupada's mission. So that class was a big class. I am going to show a small clip of what Maharaj said and how Maharaj is thanking each and every devotee for coming together unitedly and going out of the stalls and distributing Srila Prabhupada's book. So we'll see the video first, and then I'll present the marathon updates for the last week. Hare Krishna. At least we'll keep the sound on here. So the book distribution report for last week is our bus parties, three bus parties touring Rajasthan, Bhiwadi, that is Roha and Nashik, three bus parties. Our Bhiwadi, Rajasthan bus party have already done 3,750 sets. That means around 7,500 Mahabik, 7,500 medium, and around 22,000 small books. So they are feeling homesick. For 1 month they are out, but they want to complete their quota of 4,000. So they are waiting for some more companies to come, and they will be back next week, and we'll see all of their bright faces after distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in Rajasthan, the desert of Rajasthan. And the Roha bus party had a good time last week. They did 2,261 Mahabik. This is just in 2 weeks, and that too in villages. And the Nashik bus party did 1,800 Mahabig. There were some nice stories from Roha and Nashik which I received today. Pankaj Angripa was mentioning that how people sometimes throw a book in the dustbin or somewhere, and someone picks up and becomes a devotee. So there is a nice experience from a Nashik party. These devotees were told by the Nashik temple devotees to go to a particular village, and there they will meet a devotee in that village, and that devotee will help them distribute Srila Prabhupada's books around that area. So they went, they reached very late in the night, and it was pitch dark. They were not knowing where they were going because there was no street lamp, nothing. And they realized that that place was really in interiors. The devotees told me that it was even interior, it was even more far away than our Wada farm. And then they reached in the night and they met this devotee, Kandu. So they had a nice book distribution in that area. And one fine day, our devotees asked Kandu Prabhu that how you became a devotee. You are so much interior in this village in Maharashtra, in somewhere in Nashik. So then he told that how one day I was going in my village and I saw something lying in a dustbin. And I saw clearly it was Bhagavad Gita. So I picked up the Gita and I was fascinated by all the colorful papers. I started reading the book. I was so inspired. And he was telling that I felt like I should distribute this knowledge to others. So immediately he called all of his friends, had a mandali, and showed him the books, them books, and showed all the colorful plates, and started reading Bhagavad Gita to them. So they also became interested. And they decided to have a small party of a small group who will distribute the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to others. But they were not having any money also to do that. So they worked hard, a little extra time here and there in the village, collected 4,000 rupees altogether, and then they decided that now we will purchase Bhagavad Gita's and we'll distribute it. So they went to all the bookstores around that village, around the district, and they got many versions of Bhagavad Gita, but they were not happy. They wanted the version which they had. Of course, they did not know that it was Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. But something fascinated them. So they went to all different districts, but did not get Prabhupada's Gita in any bookstore. So they were a little disheartened. And finally, they came to a doctor, and they asked the doctor whether he can give information where we can get a Gita. So the doctor was educated. So he turned the page, and he saw that the name, the BBT, ISKCON, Juhu, Mumbai. So he wrote a letter to Juhu, BBT, and also called them that we need Bhagavad Gita. So the devotees told them that you come here and take the Gita from here. So all these four or five villagers, they came to Bombay city, they came to Juhu temple, Radharaj Vihari, and they talked with devotees. Devotees preached to them, gave them the books, and while leaving, they were telling that how can we keep in touch with this temple? It's so far away. So they informed that we have a Nashik center also, please go there. So they went to Nashik center, and today Kandu Prabhu is a 16-rounder devotee and is cultivating the whole village in Krishna consciousness. All by one book found in dustbin. In Roha, our devotees had put up stalls in villages and ST stand. So one devotee thought, let us go to some colleges and distribute books there. So they entered a premises of a D.Ed and B.Ed college. And they were wondering whether we will get a permission or not, even to go and announce in the classrooms. And they were thinking twice, should we go or not go, because you know, we are all brahmacharis, whether they will appreciate us. Today secularism is very popular in India. That's a good way to say no to anything spiritual. So they entered, and as soon as they entered, the principal saw, and principal welcomed them, come and sit. You're from ISKCON, Hare Krishna, I know all of you, very nice. So they told that we want to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books in your campus. I said, why not? You should definitely distribute these books in our campus. And she gave permission to distribute, go and announce in each and every class of the college and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And when the devotees came back after a good book distribution, then she told that I will write a letter by which you can go to every D.Ed and B.Ed college in Maharashtra and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. So this is how it happens. So this is a miracle which takes place when you actually go out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. We are ready? Not ready? The Shastra Dan program is also on. Last week we announced that 2,000 rupees were collected. Now it is 84,000 rupees. Till now 32,000 Bhagavad Gitas are already dispatched. And we have still more to go. As Navin Neeradpu was telling, that 2 weeks more are remaining before many of the devotees will go on yatra. So we wish that devotees even today can go and take books from book godown and try their best. If they at least take the books, if it does not go, bring it back. But at least make an effort, and Srila Prabhupada's books will show a magical effect on others. Hare Krishna. So we'll show a video now, and then... devotees who were in Roha, they told me that every day in the morning they would read Prabhupada's quotes on book distribution and they would start a day like that. So one particular day they read a quote of Prabhupada. Prabhupada is saying that what your 3 minutes of talk will do, give them a book. And these devotees went to a particular college and this devotee made a very nice announcement, 15-20 minutes. And all the other devotees told this devotee that, Prabhu, you made a really nice announcement. Really, today books will go like anything. And that day, nothing happened. 3-4 classrooms, they made announcements, not a single book went. So they understood that this announcement and talking will not work. Most important is somehow convince them to just buy a book. More important is not to talk, but to give them a book. So they went to some other college, and the principal of that college told that this is a very simple, small college, diploma in agricultural college. The students here are those who do not get admission for any other faculty, so they come here. And they are all from very rural background, so not many people carry money also. So I think so, you should not try here. But the devotee said, okay, but still Prabhupada said, keep trying, don't worry for the results. So they entered this college, made announcements, and all the students who were sitting there, they were really coming from rural background. They could see from their appearances and their dress that they will not able to afford even a Bhagavad Gita. But as soon as the announcement was over, an amazing thing happened. The students, they came, they were removing one by one 10 rupee, 5 rupee, 10 rupee, and then someone was falling short of 20 rupees, so he was borrowing money from some other students. And in this, so many students came, borrowed money, and in tens and 5 rupees, they collected 70 rupees or 80 rupees, and they bought Bhagavad Gita of Srila Prabhupada. So the whole idea is, not coming? So Krishna has some plan here. I don't know why. Nothing is coming. So maybe we can show next time or next time Mara is live here. You have some announcements, Sumit? So we should try or we should leave it? We should leave it, he's saying. Okay. So Krishna has some other plans, maybe? So maybe devotees are hungry. So let us come together again once more and in a united way try to please Srila Prabhupada by distributing his books. Srila Prabhupada, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Chai. So we'll have Kirtan now and then Prasad.